Blessings, family. Welcome back to another inspiring Fire Up show, the Revolution is Black Love podcast on today, Wednesday, October 15th. Of course, we have another special show for you with a very special guest. Very honored to have J.D. Garnier, a wealth investor, advisor, Renaissance person, et cetera, who's going to be on today informing, teaching our diaspora about the wealth mindset. He is the founder of that podcast. And of course, we always have folks on from different podcasts who are dropping some real gems for us. So we want to be talking about that today, get our folks ready for 2026, of course. And JD is going to be doing that. Before we get started, folks, want to jump in just for a little bit, news happening across the diaspora to our folks in the U.S., Africa, the Caribbean. We do know in the U.S., Letitia James, New York Attorney General, she was recently indicted by the DOJ. She is the New York Attorney General who brought a case against now President Trump and won that case and recently was indicted. We see that as happening in the U.S. Also, we want to also point out, folks, there was a news article talking about University of Oklahoma was thinking about eliminating this African-American State Department. They confirmed that is not true. It was some type of review going on, but we do know in the national backdrop there has been a concerted campaign to erase African-American history, African history, and that has been pushed with much resistance, and we want to continue to do that. Also, Spike Lee and Tanya Lee, who have been named Benin ambassadors of the African diaspora to the U.S., are encouraging those in the U.S. to come and visit Benin, to return back to Mama Africa to visit. And, of course, there are many different opportunities throughout the diaspora, and that is the latest going on with Spike Lee and Tanya Lee. Of course, he just dropped his latest movie, which I encourage everyone to go see, Highest to the Lowest. Also, again, back to Mama Africa, Ghana, most recent president to the U.N., is speaking to them, again, brought up transatlantic slave trade and the need for reparations for Africans and descendants worldwide. We know there's constantly been a call for reparations, but he spoke about the entire African diaspora. He pointed that out. Also, another news item, we know recently that P. Diddy was indicted and sent to prison. We see this come out of the Me Too movement that was started in 2017. There's a New York Times article referencing that of 201 powerful men who were, they said, brought down. All of those except for 10 are white men. Out of all those white men, one we know was indicted, sent to prison. That was Harvey Weinstein. Three high profile black men were sent to prison after the sent. Bill Cosby, who went in, he was released. R. Kelly, who's still in, and now P. Diddy. Again, as 201 powerful men, the New York Times articles, where all of them are white, 10 are African-American. Only one who went to prison of European descent was Harvey Weinstein. All of them lost their jobs, most of them replaced by white women. This Me Too movement saying was started in 2006 by African-American woman Tarani Burke. It was then mentioned in 2017 by Alyssa Milano, of European descent, that went viral. So that's very interesting. Final news article, African Relooted video game. We've talked several shows about all the different African cultural artifacts that are outside Mama Africa. Over 90% are in European Western museums. And so out of South Africa, I believe they have invented a video game where you can go on and you can basically take out African artifacts out of different museums and return it back to Mama Africa, which is very interesting. They call it a repatriation heist game. So we know over 90% of African artifacts are outside of Mama Africa. Folks, that's a little bit tidbit for today. Again, welcome to today's show, the Revolution is Black Love podcast. We have with us today special guest J.D. Garnier. J.D., are you with us?
Yes, I am here.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Folks, we're going to take just a little short musical break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to chop it up with Brother JD, and he is going to educate and inform us. Thank you so much, folks.
I'm here.
Diaspora family, welcome back. Of course, that was T.I., Dead and Gone. And we have with a special guest, J.D. Garnier, who's going to be talking about us getting rid of the old self. You know, we talk about that a lot, getting rid of the old self and going to the new self. And again, he is the host of The Wealth Mindset and a slew of other things. He's going to intro himself to us and tell us a little bit about him. And we're going to go in on developing that wealth mindset, what that means, what that entails for our folks in the community. We have been looking for someone to come and talk about finance and wealth mindset. And we were looking at different folks. But when I came across his work, The Wealth Mindset, I like how Mr. Garnier speaks to the community. He's very practical. He's very direct. He's very clear. So, folks, we're in for a real treat. J.D., thank you so much for being on with the Revolution is Black Love podcast. We appreciate you and your body of work. Are you there with us? J.D.,
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. First of all, just thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. And just what you guys are doing, you know, just direct communication to the community, I think is extremely important because we get, you know, so much misinformation and other people that are, you know, trying to give us pieces of things that are irrelevant to us. So I thank you guys for showing the whole picture.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Can you tell the audience a little bit just about yourself, your background, and what inspired you to create The Wealth Mindset? Very important. Just go in a little bit, just so our folks can just get familiar with you as we sit down and we sit at your feet today.
Definitely, definitely. Well, you know, I'm born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
And, you know, I was blessed enough to be raised by my mother and my stepfather. But I'm sure like many people, you know, we're not, you know, I wasn't raised in a household where we necessarily talked about or was taught about money and finance. And so, you know, you grow up and you pay attention and you watch people struggle. You watch people make certain decisions with their money. And I think I mentioned this the last time. There was a fourth grade class project where they taught us about the stock market. And at this time, you know, this is before the digital age, right? Everything was in a newspaper. So basically at 8 or 9 years old, I was taught how to read ticker symbols. I was taught how to pick stocks. And I was introduced to this whole new world of finance and investing that nobody in my orbit even knew anything about. And it was the first time that I realized that you could actually make money without working for it. Right. That's really the concept of investing in value. And so that stuck with me all through my childhood. And it just became an interest of mine. And when I had to decide what I wanted to do with my life professionally, you know, as I was graduating college and as I was trying to just develop myself as a man, I gravitated naturally to that industry. And I realized early on, Black and African Americans make up less than 3% of industry professionals. And so I was the only person in the room for probably the first 10 years of my career. And I was learning all of this information about, you know, how people with millions of dollars manage their assets, how they grow their assets, what they invest in. And I was fortunate enough to take all of this information, but I knew that it wasn't enough for me to just use it for myself. And so I really just started hosting financial literacy and financial planning seminars in my own community. You know, and I would do, you know, financial literacy seminars in the projects of New Orleans, Louisiana, because I just knew that, you know, we needed this. And at the time, this was in the early 2000s. You know, we didn't really have an appetite for it. You know, maybe 3 or 4 people would show up. But over the years, I have seen us shift our focus and shift our desire for this type of information. And now more than ever, our ears are open to learning about this. But this is something I've been doing for 25 years, and I just see how relevant it is. And today, I think we are in the midst of what I call a Black wealth renaissance.
Woo! Wow, we get going in deep already. I love it. I wanted to ask you, as you speak, I've been watching your videos. Y'all done got addicted to it because it's so much information. But I noticed that when you speak, you're not like a typical financial advisor, planner, where some are just dropping numbers, statistics, but you speak to the inner person, which I think is very right. interesting. You speak into the person's way of thinking as a man, woman thinking, so she is. This is written in all the Egyptian temples. You are speaking to that person, and I think maybe that's what's been missing with us. Can you speak to your approach? Because you're very down to earth, you're very grounded, but you're speaking to us inside. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you recognizing that, because that's actually very deliberate. And, you know, during the day when I'm meeting with clients and doing my business, I am talking about numbers all day, mm-hmm. right? I am talking about the data and the statistics and the returns and all of these ideas that we talk that we hear about. But when I am talking to someone who is trying to start from where they are, right? They're trying to build something from nothing, or they're trying to accumulate wealth and they don't really have any direction. To me, I think it's counterproductive to start with just the numbers, because what I've learned is that for most people, they aren't making financial decisions. They're making life decisions. And when I'm sitting in front of somebody who's worth 10 or 15 or even $100 million, 90% of the conversation is about the things that they care about in life and not necessarily the money or the numbers. And so I've recognized this over 25 years that, you know, we really want to build wealth in our life. Yes, the numbers matter. The monies matter, but it is how we think, because you can get all of those resources, but if you don't think the right way, you're going to lose it. You're going to squander it. And I've seen it happen. I've seen people that knew how to make money in a certain way, but they didn't think about their wealth the right way. And that money was gone as fast as it came. And so for me, it's not about getting rich. It is about building wealth. And that's a longer, more methodical process. And again, that goes to how people think, you know, and I'll say this to really answer your question, right? If you think of an average billionaire and you take everything from that person that they own physically, they still have the wisdom. They still have the knowledge. They still have the mindset that acquired that wealth. And I am a big believer if our community has that mindset, it doesn't matter what anybody takes from us, because we're going to know how to build it back.
Come on now. You know, as I've listened to you talk, one of the things that comes out, and I'm thinking about our community, and we have a variety, array of people that listen to us of different incomes. But for the most part, our collective body of people of African descent, whether it's in the U.S., the Caribbean African diaspora, we may get money. People may get money, the physical, tangible money, but we either end up squandering it or losing it, or not realizing how we lost it. And right. I really think it's something in our head. Even when we have conversations, we'll talk about very social issues, community issues, but we don't talk about numbers or money or what's the cost. And it's almost like it's a disclaimer on the back banner or the back burner. Okay, oh, I forgot about this. And I believe it comes out of how we've been positioned within the system, racism, white supremacy, slavery, our worldview. But I think it has to do with how we're viewing ourselves in relation right. to money and how it flows. And I've heard in your bit, you spoke about is it should always be emotion and energy. I don't think we understand that concept. Can you speak to when you talk about how it should be emotion and how it's energy, JD?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, you heard me use the term value a lot. And the reason why I use that term is because wealth and riches are byproducts of value, right? You don't just get wealthy, you know, without owning or controlling or managing something that has value. And what I say is that the most important thing of value that you're ever going to own is yourself, right? You are the value. It doesn't matter if I give you $1 million in real estate, if I give you a bag full of cash of $1 million, if I give you $1 million in land. If you yourself don't know how to handle that level of wealth, then it's going to be gone. And so, you know, I make the difference between being rich and being wealthy. Rich is the abundance of resources and money, but wealth is the separation of time and money, right? You don't become wealthy until your income, until your assets, until your resources increase without you having to work for it or use your time to accumulate it. And the only way to do that, there's only three ways to do that. You have to either buy assets, create assets, or become an asset. And before you can buy assets with your extra money, before you can create assets and start a business, you have to have the mind to become an asset. You have to put all of your energy and effort into developing yourself into something that has value in the world. And people are willing to pay for that value, right? Whether it's your profession or your job, whether it's a business that you start, whether it's a physical gift that God bless you with, like the ability to sing or athletics, whatever it is, you have to develop that into something of value that earns you money in this world. But that's the first step. Once you have that money, right, now that's just a resource. You're still trading your time for money. So what is the next step? The next step is to take, to have the mindset to discipline and sacrifice yourself with those resources to think about the long term. Right? We use this term generational wealth all the time, but I don't think people really understand and know what it means.
Go in, please.
And really, generational wealth is a transfer of value from one generation to the next. You're not just transferring money. You're not just transferring a bank account. You are transferring value, right? And so that could be your business. That could be the things that you own. That could be your physical assets. But it's not just value. The second thing is values, right? What life principles are you giving to the next generation? What wisdom are you passing on? I've never met any rich person that say, I want to leave my children all this money, but I don't want to leave them anything to live by. Right? I don't want to leave them any values or principles. And so the values are just as important as the value. And then the last thing are valuables. That's the stuff that money can't buy, right? The love, the memories, the time, the things that we do for one another. Those things are invaluable and you can't put a price on it. But you can't just leave the money without those other values. And so I think so many times we get caught up in the number and we're not thinking about our life long term, right? But if you're 30 years old, you got another 40, 50 years on this earth. If you're 40 years old, you're going to be here for another 30 years. And so it's not just enough to have the mindset of scarcity where I just got to survive.
Right.
No, we're past that point. It's time for us to thrive. But in order for us to do that, we have to be thinking about the long term, our legacy. Right. We have to be connecting our generations with one another. And we have to be taking the resources that we have and using that to grow and develop. It doesn't take a lot. Right? You can become a millionaire with just discipline. You don't have to make $1 million. It is consistency. It is discipline. And I'm sorry, I'm just going on and on.
No, I had a list of questions. I'm listening. Okay, I'm about to jump in y'all in a little bit. Go ahead.
Jumping on me in a minute. But I always reference wealth to building a tree.
Yes.
Because in the beginning, you don't see any benefit, right? You plant a seed, you're watering it every day, you're cultivating the soil, and you don't see any benefit from that. And you're doing all of this work on the front end. And a lot of times our life is like that. Right, we're doing all of this work on the front end, but if you're not, if you haven't set the mindset that I'm going to give this tree everything it needs to grow and develop, then you're just wasting away all of your work.
You know,
but once that tree breaks ground, once it breaks ground, now it can grow by itself, and we never wait for that moment. We never wait for the opportunity for it to grow on its own because we quit right before we have time to really build wealth.
Wow. Yeah. I told you, delicious show. If you just joined us, the Revolution's Black Love Podcast. Very special guest, J.D. Garnier of the Wealth Mindset. I wanted to ask you, as you talk about and gave that excellent illustration about growth, I noticed in our community, we have a lot of businesses of one. Businesses of one, which means that is not growth occurring. That is not expansion. Ken, and in some of your talk, you speak to that. How do our businesses of one get beyond that, where growth actually occurs? We have businesses of one that have been around 20, 30, 40 years, your legacy business, but you're a business of one. But when you die, the business dies. It's no transfer. Can you please speak to the importance of getting beyond that?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. And I think the statistic is we have about 2.8 million businesses in our community, and 95% of those businesses are owned and ran by one person.
Ooh, that's not good.
And what that means is that all of that value of 95% of the businesses in our community are tied up in one person's life. And so if something happens to that one person, the value of the business is gone. And so that is an issue, because we want to be able to take that value and either give it to our children or sell it on the open market. And so normally what I tell business owners is, first, you have to determine what type of business you have. Right? Do you have a lifestyle business, or do you have a value-based business? A lifestyle business is, let's just say you're an insurance salesman, right? All of your clients trust you. They rely on you. So you are the business, right? So it would be hard for you to maybe sell that business to somebody, because if you sell it to somebody else, then your clients are going to be like, well, hey, I bought from you. My relationship is with you. And so in that case, in a lifestyle business, right? Or let's say you have a beauty shop, right? Or you're a barber, right? You are the talent. You are the skill in that business. And so it's hard for you to sell a barbershop if they're coming to see you. And so if you have a lifestyle business, then the goal is you have to take the income you earn from that business and you have to put it away because you are the value. So you need to be taking at least 20% of your income and putting it away for the long term. That's number one. Number two, if you have a lifestyle business, you have to protect your value. If you make $100,000 a year, if you live the next 30 years, that's $3 million. So how do you protect that earning value for your family? Right. And that's where life insurance comes in. And a lot of times in our community, we don't always talk about it the right way. But really, it is a protection of your value to your family. Even when I was in my early 20s and I didn't have a family, I had over $1 million worth of life insurance because I knew I wanted to leave somebody something. If I didn't have the opportunity to grow it as a man, if something were to happen to me, somebody was going to benefit from that.
Let me point you a little bit, JD, as you speak. I want to talk about in our inner cities, we have a lot of people, a lot of families, a lot of bodies where the wealth, money, it flows around it. You know, it's flowing, it's money flowing around it, different types of money. But how do you advise a person, $40,000 a year? Maybe not even that.
Right.
I got two children. I got three children, single mom, or single father. You know, trying to, and I believe that's why so many, they start a business because they're trying to create wealth. I believe they actually trying to create wealth. But once they get into it, it's more money going out than it's coming in. How do you advise those folks that's actually trying to create and leave something for their children? Where do they begin? What's some of the things they can do now? Go ahead.
If you're in that range, right, that's what I call kind of the zone where you're basically just making enough to survive.
Exactly.
And that's another reason why I talk about purpose so much, because you have to find something that you are willing to build value in yourself. It goes back to the mantra, you are the wealth, right? And so you can do anything, but you can't do everything, right? You could start a business, you can invest in this. There's a million things that you can do, but you have to do what is right for you. And that starts with your purpose. Right. If buying and selling real estate is not connected to your purpose and what God called you to do, it doesn't matter how many other millionaires doing it. It's not going to work for you. And so you have to number one, know your purpose, because that is going to tell you where you need to be putting all of your energy to increase your earning potential. Right. If you're making $40,000, $50,000 a year, you need to ask yourself, what more value can I add into the world to increase my earnings? Do I need to specialize in my current job? Mm-hmm. Do I need additional training or certification so I can turn that 50 into 75, right? Do I need to do something else? Is there another interest or passion that I have where I can put my energy to outside of this job to make money? But the first place you need to start is yourself and get as much earning potential as you can out of yourself. But then once you do that, let's say you do that and you turn that 50 into 60,000. Okay. You're not just going to take that extra 10,000 and go and spend it. You're going to take that extra 10,000 that you earn from becoming an asset. And you're going to use it to buy assets. You're going to use it to buy other things of value. You're going to start storing that money for the long term. When I wasn't making that much money, I still had the mindset that I had to put away, save, and invest money. Mm. I don't care if that was $50 a month. I don't care if it was $100 a month, whatever. And then as my earnings increased, my mindset increased to keep that going as well.
JD, I'm going to interrupt you a little bit. I want to pull you back. You said something very important, and you're connecting wealth to purpose. And I think, I know that's a lot of what's missing. I've observed a lot where you have a person, they're doing a lot of different things. Like you speak to people, and they say, what do you do? And they give you a resume. They got like 55 different right. businesses. It's like all this energy is dispersed. And what comes along with each of those projects or different businesses is you got to spend money, right? So you right. think you're making money, but you got to put money out. And I think when you speak about purpose, and really you're talking about your passion, whatever you're good at, you like to do, the money going to come.
Right.
Can you speak to a person harnessing that, focusing on what they're good at, what they love? Right. To build wealth right. from that. Can you speak? And y'all, I can't believe it. We're going to take a musical break in a moment because we don't got people missing. Can you speak to the importance of focusing in on that, who you are?
Absolutely. And I just said this a few minutes ago, right? You can do anything, but you can't do everything.
Exactly.
Right? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Come on now.
In order for you to make anything a success, you have to concentrate and focus on that thing. Mm. You know, I say this all the time, right? Jay-Z's a billionaire today. Mm-hmm. He has all kinds of different ventures and businesses, mm-hmm. but he built wealth on one thing, mm-hmm. his music.
Come on. That's
right. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos got all kinds of billions of dollars and he's invested in all of this stuff, mm-hmm. but he concentrated his energy and efforts on one thing first, mm-hmm. building up Amazon, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. LeBron James is one of the richest athletes ever. Mm-hmm. He has all kinds of stuff outside of sports that will take care of his family for generations. Mm. But he focused on one thing first, and that is his basketball game. Mm-hmm. And so God gave you something. He gave you a talent. He gave you an ability. He gave you a gift. He gave you an inclination, something that you're interested in, something that you can do better than other people, something that you gravitate towards. He mm-hmm. gave you that thing. Mm-hmm. It is your job to specialize and to maximize that thing into your earning potential.
Mm. Ooh, come on now. All right, family. Okay, we already through halfway mark. So we're going to take a very delicious conversation. Thank you so much, JD, for being on with us. We're going to take this a quick musical break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to JD. Now I'm going to go into my questions, y'all. We've been sitting here soaking up all his knowledge. But I know one of the things I want to get from him and I want to hear is, what should we be doing right now in terms of our political, geopolitical climate right now? In one of your videos, JD, 7 months ago, you talked about whatever's going on with the presidency, it is in some ways irrelevant to us. We still got certain things we want to do. I want to ask you about that. What can we do? What should we be doing right now? What are some things we should be doing right now? Folks, we're going to take another musical break with T.I. ATL representing the house, and then we're going to come back with JD. All right, family, welcome back. Of course, that's ATL representing Old Me's Dead and Gone. That's right. Y'all getting rid of the old self. We getting rid of our old selves. We are renewing ourselves and going into 2026 with renewed minds, renewed hearts, renewed souls. Exactly what JD is teaching us today. Very important to be able to move away from things that are no longer serving us or benefiting us, whether it be people, time, energies. We have got to benefit ourselves and our legacies. JD, as we go into the last few minutes portion of our show, as I mentioned, I want to speak to what we should be doing now. We got a geopolitical context with a presidency. Is it relevant to us as Black folks in America? Where should we be focused at? What should we be doing right now, JD?
You know, that's a good question, because things change and happen so fast.
Every day, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, this world is just, it is on hyperdrive at this point.
That's right.
The thing I think about, number one, you know, and I said this at the beginning, I think we are in the midst of a Black wealth renaissance. Right, there's more opportunity today to build wealth than there has ever been in our lifetime. But that can be scary too, because there's so much to choose from. So that goes back to choosing what is right for you and focusing and concentrating. But in terms of what we should be doing today, number one, I think as a community, collectively and individually, we need to, number one, be protecting our wealth. We need to be protecting what we already have. We need to keep our things in order, and we need to be protecting our lineage generationally. And so what I believe, or what I normally see, for most of us, we are first generation wealth creators. If you're fortunate, then maybe you had a family that left you something in your second generation. But for most of us in our community, we are first generation wealth creators. And so with that opportunity comes responsibility to reconnect our generations. And what I mean by that is, I think if you take on that responsibility of, okay, it's on me to build wealth for my family. It's on me to change our dynamics. I think there's two ways that we can start that. Number one is vertically, through reconnecting our families. Unfortunately, I think that and I'll tie in how this connects to wealth, but I think that we need to reconnect with our parents' generation and with our children's generation and have open discussions and conversations about our wealth. You know, I said this in one of my calls, you know, when I first started advising clients that were selling $100 million businesses, one of the things they would do is bring in their whole family and they would talk about not just the money, but their values, what they cared about, their lineage, right? The heritage. And I think for people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, when they can really know those stories, when they can have that reconnection with the past generation, it gives us a sense of responsibility of what we should be doing today. And when we can also connect that to our children, we give our children the wisdom, the knowledge, and the financial acumen to now take that and run with it with this new age of technology. So I think we need to vertically connect our family. But then secondly, we need to horizontally connect our communities because we don't know what we don't know. And so it's important for us to reach out to one another, right? Our peers, our colleagues, our friends, and share information, right? You may be in the industry I don't know anything about. You may have access to stuff I don't know anything about. And so we're sharing information as a community. Then now we are taking all that information and we're giving it up the pipeline to our parents, and we're giving it down the pipeline to our children. And so it becomes this entire cycle of shared wisdom, knowledge, and intellectual wealth. You know, but I think that's what we need to be doing as a community. Go ahead.
You know, as you speak, and you bring up those 2 points, very important, and you talk about vertically reconnected family. I know me and my cousin, we're getting ready for our family reunion next year. We couldn't have it this year. My mama passed. That's why we were on hiatus this podcast, and we just buried her a few weeks ago. But we're planning it next year, and it's going to be on West Coast. We're going to all meet, you know, different places. But part of the activity is going to be at one of the hotels. And part of things we're going to do, we're going to have some of the family does like insurance and different things. We're going to have a seminar, a workshop on finances. That's going to be part of the family reunion. That's three, four days, you know, we're going to have another talk. All the ones that's entrepreneurs in our lineage, they're going to talk about their businesses, right? Who's doing what? So we can support them and bring them business, you know. And so it's not just you coming, you eating ribs and macaroni and cheese. No. This is a different time. Right. You know, right. We've got to break these cycles of poverty and lack. And as you mentioned in the beginning, for most of us, we're first generation wealth creators. So that means, like, responsibility. So we got to do things differently. And I agree with what you said. What you're talking about is intergenerational. We got to be in the same space at the same time.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, this is the time to do that. Mm. And, you know, again, right, we have to have the mindset of protecting it. I can't tell you how many families I have seen that have lost family land, that have lost family assets, because they did not protect what they had, and not a second generation has to start over from scratch, you know?
And
I could just start with the people that we know about.
What is that loop we seem to be caught in? We get it, then we lose it, then it's like the next generation got to start over. We can't keep doing it. What is that?
DMX, Aretha Franklin, Martin Luther King, Chadwick Boseman, none of those people had a will. Oh. Right? We talking about James Brown. We talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in our community that goes to lawyers' fees.
That's right. Come on.
That goes to families fighting over assets that they'll never see. Right? That breaks families apart. And so that's why I said we have to protect what we have.
Yes.
See, a lot of people don't know this, but when you pass away, the state that you live in dictates and determines who gets what. I don't care what you promised somebody.
That's right.
I don't care what you told somebody. I don't care if you've been living with somebody for 30 years.
That's right.
Every state has their own line of succession. Mm-hmm. And the only way to alleviate that is if you have your own will in place, or if you have some type of trust or estate plan. And people think that's for people with millions and millions of dollars.
No.
But if you got 10 or 20 acres of family land,
that's right.
If you have some assets,
that's right.
You need to protect that for the next generation. That's the minimum thing that we need to be doing.
You say that the story about the protection, that has to go back to how we view self. And you said, I'm appearing in class myself with you, taking all these notes. we need to buy assets, create assets, but also we need to become assets. It goes back to how we view ourselves and viewing what we have as valuable. This is what you're telling us. We're not doing that.
We're not. We think the things on the outside of us are valuable, but we are the asset. I mean, think about what we've created in our community. Right, the things that we've created that we've never been compensated or paid for.
Come on, now.
Right, the art, the talent. You know, I say this all the time. We have a wealth gap, but we don't have a value gap. The value is there, right?
Yes.
We have the talent, the art, right? The work ethic, the creativity. We have the value. We just have to turn it into wealth.
Come on now. Ooh, drop the mic. Say it again. Ooh, you about to get, I'm getting emotional up in here. Woo. Okay, real truth. Come on, diaspora people. It's time to level up. We got to level up. Okay, my producer like, calm down. we can do better. I think in our mind we don't believe we can, but we can. And it's right there. It's what you said. It's right in front of us. It's us.
Right there. It's right there in front of us. And, you know, I'll tell you my personal story with that, knowing that we can do better, right?
Yes.
I told you my industry is less than 4%.
Yes.
And so when I was a young man, it's very easy to be insecure about being in a room with people that are much older than you that don't look like you. And you think that they have something or they know something that you don't have. And I spent the first half of my career believing they had some knowledge or information or some gift that I didn't have, and I was trying to look for it, and I realized they didn't have nothing different.
Come on now.
It was nothing. It was my own insecurity that was holding me back.
Come on, real talk.
And so for all of us, I'm telling you, you have the value. It's already there. You just have to have a plan for your life, and you have to believe that it's there, but the resources are there.
Wow.
100%.
And you done kept it 100 today, JD. Folks, we are coming to the end. I feel like just 10 minutes. We coming to the end. We're wrapping it up. I'm crying tears. JD, you got to come back. Can you come back to us, please?
Absolutely. I love this conversation.
Okay.
I love even talking about this, so I would love to come back.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Y'all hear that? Okay. So he coming back. He going to be teaching us. He getting ready for 2026 and such powerful information. JD, as we begin to wrap up, close out, what would be your final recommendations? If you had to give 2 to 3 for our folks today, will be your final recommendation suggestions?
What I would say is that the decisions you make today will impact people that you'll never meet. Right? The life decisions and the financial decisions that you make today will affect people that have not been born yet.
Wow.
And that is what generational wealth is.
Wow.
And I'll just tell you a quick story. I never met my grandparents. Right? They died before I was born. But they made two financial decisions that affected my children's life. The first decision they made was they bought a house. They bought a shotgun double in Uptown New Orleans about 60 years ago. That's where my mom grew up. They lived on one side, and they rented out the other side. That house was still in our family when my grandparents died, and it was enough. There was enough equity in it for my parents to get their own home.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
The second financial decision they made was my grandmother was always worried about my uncle, and she bought just a small $10,000 or $15,000 life insurance policy on his life. But when she passed away, my mom kept up those payments. He lived with us. And unfortunately, when he passed when I was about 10, my mom got that death benefit, $15,000. That was enough, along with their equity, to buy the house that me and my sister grew up in.
Wow.
And was able to get the education that we needed to make our lives.
And look at who you have become. Look at this. Look at this.
And so I will tell you, number one, that house is still in our family.
See, oh, my goodness. See, look at this.
And still generating income for my family 60 years later.
Ooh, come on now.
And secondly, my children now understand that line of lineage and how valuable the things that my grandparents did.
Wow.
And again, I never met my grandparents.
Look at this. Wow.
And so the decisions you make today will have an effect on people that you will never meet.
Whew. We need right there on the wall. They need to be on a billboard. Wow. Come on, y'all. Say that again, please. Turn it up, the soundboard. Go ahead.
The decisions you make today will impact people that you will never meet.
Whew.
So make the right decision. Make the valuable decision. Sacrifice today. Take the risk today and be patient today. And that tree will be growing on its own in the future.
Y'all, from the words of J.D. Garnier, special guest today. Wow. Y'all, the walls is burning down. Y'all know how we do. Special guest. Then gave us some gems of wisdom. Very important. The Revolution is Black Love podcast. The revolution starts in you. This is the change starts in you, and then outside, a real revolution can occur. Change of circumstances and conditions and our lineages. This is what JD is teaching us today. Some of the gems: buy assets, create assets, but you become the asset. Some other things: the decisions we make today, and I think we take for granted because we don't value ourselves enough. The financial decisions we make today, it can affect generations and help them not just survive, but to thrive, okay? To thrive. So we have got to graduate from survival mode. Enough of this. to thriving mode. So y'all, 2026, the Revolution of Black Love podcast, we're going to get y'all ready. We're going to help get y'all ready with special guests like JD. Thank you so much, JD, for joining us. Our diaspora audience appreciates you. You are valued. You are appreciated. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate the time and the opportunity.
Yes, yes, yes. So, y'all, we're going to go out. We're going to go out with a little bit. Nas, EPMD, y'all, we back in business, okay? And Nas is going to take us out. We need y'all to get back in business with yourself, with your lineages, with your wealth, with your tangible assets, protecting that, protecting self. And y'all know how we do. Children of the sun, stay in the light. Wake up!
EPMD, we back in business. I visualize what it is, not what it isn't. We at the mafia table next to the kitchen, eating Michelin star, counting a million. Look, hood theories on a Rothstein, rigged the World Series. Gotti ran every union in the city. NAS do it, B.I.G. like Biggie, leading like Huey Newton did. Nigga, that's how official the revolution is. Feds holding cameras up and they zooming in. Don't be surprised when niggas show you they true intent. Ruthless, they'll tie up your wife and kid. Why you talking on Clubhouse, the gun's out. This ain't an audio chat, boy, this audio crack. Social media platforms, they ratting on Facebook, Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. Some say it's Babylon. Took the property over since Hampton gone. Who said we couldn't get cash as long last as long? Platinum cars with our ratchets on. Laid back, ox blood seats with the hazards on. EPMD, we back in business. I visualize what it is, not what it isn't. We at the mafia table next to the kitchen, eating Michelin star, counting a million. Murcielago mind flow, 20 Chevy Tahoes, then I'm sitting low. I am not hiding though. Condos are different time zones. Way before y'all was double cupping the styrofoam. Come on, done. Had to lay it down in layman's terms. Yeah. Want me to turn up a notch to say the word. Yeah. Hit told me to chill, just lay the verse. You know my thoughts get crazy. Think about shit from the 80s. Bucking like Tom Brady, balling like Kyrie and Katie. Will had the medallion, emblem of a Mercedes. Way before Michael Mary, when all the Nikes was pennies. Killing niggas for sneakers, had to skate through the envy. Supreme sold for a few billy. Few billy. If I sell my masters, I need a trilly. Need a trilly. It was go get it, now it's gimme. Run it. And we ain't relying on no stimmies. EPMD, we back in business. I visualize what it is, not what it isn't. We at the mafia table next to the kitchen, eating Michelin star, counting a million. Mob shit. Legitimate. You couldn't even calculate this shit. Yeah. Unsurmountable shit. Yeah.